From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever cape wearing, ever arctic vampire-y, ever the ladies man of Bob After Dark, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob. How's it going?
Oh, my God. The microphone works.
You know what? And for viewers of this program, Bob After Dark, you notice kind of a little different the way the setup is here.
Would you like to talk about that?
A lot more user-friendly for shows like Bob After Dark where, you know, old Count Panic has to run around and
or fly around, if you will.
So I got a couple camera angles here. I got this one. I got my webcam as well. I go, hold on, let me try something. Oh, there.
You're only switching back before.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You can't see that one.
I can't.
But a lot more user-friendly here at Bob After Dark ever since we remodeled the place a little bit there. So can't complain, Bob. Can't complain.
Panic, you're giving me it. I'm watching on the stream now, and you're about to give me, like, epilepsy.
Well, I hope none of our viewers at home are sensitive because I just did it. And don't make me do it again.
No.
Because I will. I will.
Panic, let's get your weekend update.
Yes, indeed. Well, the weekend was nice. Saturday, kind of a festive day around here. Did some Christmassy stuff over there for folks that maybe don't know. Hammond, Indiana, home of Petyville. Had a little private party over there. Again, the Christmas joy. Then yesterday, Bob, I was with you.
We were. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. What else did you do? You know, Hammond, Indiana, fun fact, is basically the home of the Christmas Story, which is right here where WJOB Studios is.
That's very true.
And where Bob After Dark is recorded
here,
live. Yeah, if you guys ever seen the Christmas Story, it's a famous Christmas movie. The city studio's based in, again, is where Gene Shepard wrote A Christmas Story based on. So we're actually kind of following in the footsteps of something very cool here.
And Gene Shepard spent a year or so in WJOB back in the 1940s.
So. It's a small world, man. I'm telling you. Yeah, WJOB. So basically, by, like, you know how you ever play 5 Degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
It's like 5 Degrees of Bob Anderson. Gene Shepard was in Christmas Carol on A Christmas Story. And I'm on Bob After Dark.
That seat you're sitting in right now, that's where Gene Shepard sat.
I highly doubt it. He's probably at the old studio, right?
You know what? This is probably before that, but this might be the downtown Hammond studio. But yeah, maybe not exactly where you sat, but you know what? You get what I mean. The spirit is there, Bob.
All right.
Spirit is there.
To my left is, he's not here.
Where's he at?
I don't know. Hashtag where's Anthony?
Uh-oh.
Anthony's not with us this week.
He needs some deserved rest. That's what he needs.
Anthony is recovering from some spiritual warfare. So for the first time in, probably 6 months, it's a me and you only show. Back to the basics.
That's right. We're starting.
You want me to start whispering my episode? Oh, hey there.
Don't
children.
Start whispering.
Welcome
man,
to children. Welcome to Bob After Dark. And that's a throwback to the old Bob After Dark days. All right, folks, if this is your first time ever watching Bob After Dark live, how does Bob After Dark work? We cover legends, lore, supernatural. We talk about some weird, spooky news stories of the week. I don't typically prep Panic for any of my news stories, so we get the raw hashtag Panic's take, where he gives us an idea about what's crack-a-lackin' on his end with the news. And we cover what is called the lore of the week. And we are rounding up the tail end of the spirits of the holidays. And during the month of December, we usually talk about some alternative ways to celebrate Christmas or other holiday traditions, queer creatures that lurk in the winter. And I'm going to be talking about something that has since been kind of fallen into the realm of obscurity. We'll talk about her later, but let's just say that she might actually be scarier than the Krampus.
The Gary Witch.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
So What did we do yesterday, Count Panic? We did something.
Oh, yeah.
We did something really fun.
We did, were somewhere fun. Somewhere fun.
Somewhere fun. We
yeah.
were
the Den Theater.
The Den. We were at the Den Theater in Chicago for the pop-up occult holiday market. Bob After Dark had a booth there where we were up and running the After Dark occult store, which is going to be launching on Etsy in the next few weeks. Very excited about that, and we're going to be coming to a convention near you with not only panel submissions, but selling some Bob After Dark merchandise to help keep the show running and basically to help keep me living so I'm not sleeping in my car. Or in your case,
I found you
coffin.
In your car when you started the show, and now look at you traveling.
Traveling all over, man. I've literally have talked about Bob After Dark at this point from coast to coast, which is a really strange, strange concept.
Well, we made a lot of great friends yesterday. If you're, once again, after we make an appearance, I got to say, if you're watching this or listening to this and you were at the Den Theater, welcome aboard.
Yeah, definitely. Now, if you guys are listening to this on the podcast universe, we are found on everywhere where you listen to your podcasts at Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Meowcast, apparently we found out yesterday we're also on.
MySpace?
No.
You say, all right.
I'll tell you what.
Who's in your top runs?
My top eight for Bob After Dark.
Who's your top cryptids? Top eight cryptids.
That's an episode for a day.
All right. Well,
Mothman.
Okay.
Mothman would be my number one friend. Bigfoot. I'm assuming yours would be Nessie, right?
Yeah, Nessie's up there. With
Panic, me. Would I be in your top eight if we had a MySpace page?
Yeah. Were you not? We weren't around during the.
No, we met in college.
Yeah, that was the Facebook days.
The Facebook era. Yeah.
We're still in the Facebook era.
Right. I don't think anything's come. Remember Google Plus?
That was supposed to be the big thing. Yeah.
All right, folks. If you want to call in anytime during the show, 219-845-1100.
I'm closer to the phone.
Panic is literally closer to the phone, and I don't have to watch him run around anymore. So why don't you guys put his hands to work and give us a call? If you're listening in on podcast land and you want to call in during the live bits of the show, you're welcome to it. 219-845-1100. Usually Anthony's good about telling us the country code. So if anybody knows what the country code is here, I don't know. But we do have a following in Australia. So hello, all of our Australian fans. Do we have any upcoming news? Because we're done for the year. But we're officially going to be kicking off the tour 2020 within the next few weeks. The weekend of January 10th, I will be at OhioCon, Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to be hosting the Bob After Dark panel there. I'll be by myself. Nobody's going to be helping me out with that. So if you guys are in the area for OhioCon, come on out and come say hello to me and share some spooky stuff. I'm going to be going after the Loveland Frog. Have you ever heard of that story? Have we ever talked about that on the show or
have
no?
Have we?
No, I don't think we've ever talked about the Loveland Frog, but it's probably Ohio's like best cryptid sighting. It's one of my favorites.
And this is Cleveland.
Columbus.
Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
Well, it still rocks.
So you guys can, if you're in the area for OhioCon 2020, the date isn't up just yet. I'm trying to figure that out. But at the weekend of, I'm assuming I'll probably be Saturday night at some point, but you'll never know. So as soon as I know the specific day, time, and what room I'm at OhioCon, I'll be there. But if you just buy your weekend badges for OhioCon, then you're going to be set for the entire weekend. And then announcing today, the Bob After Dark team will be at C2E2 2020 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all going to be there.
We are going to be there.
We are going to be there. We don't know about the panel yet, but we are going to be there in attendance. So you guys can come on out. We'll be Bob After Darking. One of the days we'll be at C2E2. We'll be there all 3 days. But if you guys come by and find us, we'll give you some merch and you can come take a picture with Count Panic himself.
My cape.
Yeah. You might sign some autographed pictures while you're there, right?
Me and whoever. George Takei. Who's there?
George Takei. Bill Shatner, William Shatner
is
going to
be there.
Uhura, the actress from Uhura, is going
to
be there.
I guarantee you, I'm about $100 less to meet than William Shatner. So
William Shatner is not a cheap autograph.
No, that's like what, over 100, right?
I'm sure. Yeah. But you, for you, how much are you charging for an autograph these days?
Buy me a sandwich, I'll be all right.
You're a
ham sandwich.
Ham sandwich. Oh boy. So let's dive right into the news stories of the week. And if you guys have any questions, again, you can call in 219-845-1100. I'm by myself this week, so I'd appreciate the company. I'm not by myself. I got you.
Bob, you're a pro. You got this.
You know, it's strange because I was prepping for the show, And I'm like, oh, you know, usually in my show notes, I'll leave blanks, be like, I'm insert joke here or wait for Anthony to jump in here, but I don't have Anthony this week, so it's kind of
No pastry talk.
no nothing, no joking about pastries this week, so.
You'll be fine.
All right, so let's dive right into the news stories of the week. My first story is going to be coming from actually the United States Air Force, so basically the United States of America. We're talking about a retired USAF general. He is basically saying that we have the technology right now to be able to transport a human in within 1 hour anywhere on Earth. Steve Quatz is his name, and he is saying that China is already working on building a navy in space. He had a big press conference where he was talking about the new Space Force, I believe it's called, the basically the military police in space.
Yeah, it's the big deal. The Space Force. It's like
The
the
Space
Army
Force.
and Navy in space.
Right. According to him, China's already working on a navy in space, and he's saying that we already have technology built and ready to go where we can transport anybody on Earth anywhere within an hour.
That's not bad. So you can go anywhere.
I guess if you want to go to Australia to go visit our Australian fans, it would only take you an hour to get to
You're
Australia.
telling me I can go to the Cheese Castle in an hour.
I mean, you could go to the Arch Cheese Castle now in an hour. If you jump in your car 8094, you can make it to the March Cheese
An
Castle.
hour, though, I feel it's like that's an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay. I'll give you an hour, 10 minutes, but still, you can make it to the Cheese Castle in an hour now.
Let's do it right now.
I the
I'll be
Marsh
by the
Cheese
time yeah,
Castle, the
by the
Marsh
time the
Cheese
show ends,
Castle.
I'll be back.
If you guys have ever, if you guys have never watched or listened to Bob After Dark before, Panic really likes the Marsh Cheese
It's a
Castle,
beautiful place.
Kenosha, Wisconsin, right over the border. You go there; it's a castle, and they sell cheese and sausage and beer.
Spotted cows
Spotted
there.
Cow, oh,
Yeah.
man. See, this great state of Wisconsin, that's probably like one of our biggest support circles we have.
You've been living large in Wisconsin the past couple weeks here.
I have, yeah, you ain't kidding. We were at the Krampusnacht recently
Yeah.
and Anime Milwaukee. We're kind of big in
Rocking and
Wisconsin.
rolling.
Something like that. We're like the Kenosha Kickers. Really big in Sheboygan. Did you get the
Yeah.
Home Alone reference?
Yeah, the John Candy.
Anyway, so Stephen Kwatz, he's saying about China already building the Navy in space. He's saying that this is why we need to be funding the Space Force more, and he's believing that in the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to be seeing more intergalactic warfare between our own countries. Being a fan of the video game franchise Halo over my life, that's all I can imagine happening, where we're going to be fighting, you know, aliens with machine guns very soon, or Starship Troopers, if you've ever seen that. That's what I imagine the Space Force doing. But no, I guess this is more human on human fighting, but in space.
Yeah, there should be more lightsabers or something.
I think we're a bit away from a light. Like lights, there's technology now, I'm assuming, that has lightsaber capabilities, but I'm assuming it's probably not just like
A laser.
yes, but like I'm just gonna carry it on my belt and it's gonna slice you in two with just a
Yeah, wow.
boom.
Nothing fancy with that. Like a lot of times in the movies, they'll do all those tricks, but you could just take somebody out with a laser pretty easily. So that might be, I don't know what. I don't know much about what Space Force does up there, but you never know. The future is coming.
Was that the hashtag panic stick?
Yeah.
So if you could go
And
anywhere, minus the cheese
minus the
castle,
Cheese
where would you go?
Castle?
Where would you go in an hour's travel?
Oh, man. Maybe the motherland.
Poland?
Poland.
Yeah.
Check
Go
it
see the
out.
mermaids.
That's right. You were telling me this. Mermaids are big in Poland.
Because what were you asking me yesterday at the occult market? You're like, you know, we talk about these different, we're talking about the character from tonight's episode, what we're going to be
Oh
talking
yeah, the
about.
pole. I was like, why
The
is there not a Polish witch or
There is a
something?
Polish witch, come to find out, but it's she's not really related to Christmas very much.
Yeah.
No, Poland, we have the Baba Yaga kicking around. Not really. It's not really a Polish thing. I shouldn't say that. But we do have mermaids.
But they're not really Christmassy,
I guess if you slap a Santa hat on a mermaid, it's
they?
definitely a
Would they like that? I don't know. All
probably not.
right, well, best to stay away.
Probably. Speaking of Santa hats on like aquatic creatures, could I just derail for like a half a moment and talk about a Christmas movie I watched with the Queen of the Night the other night?
What is it?
It's called Santa Jaws.
Santa Jaws.
Santa Jaws.
A shark?
It's literally a shark that wears a Santa hat and it just goes around eating people. The first 3 minutes of the movie might be one of the greatest pieces of cinematic expertise I've ever seen in my life. Just want to throw that out there. So if you guys are looking for a Christmas movie that's spooky, Santa Jaws. I'm not lying to you. This is a real movie.
Does the shark wear a Christmas hat? Or?
Yes, it does. I'm not lying to you.
Okay, I'm into it. I'm into it. That'd be great.
All right, let's moving on to the next story. And this actually takes place somewhere in England. Yes, sorry. I'm kind of cracking jokes back and forth because I'm imagining Anthony being here. So what if I was to tell you that there were 300 birds that just dropped dead out of the sky?
300 birds.
That 300 seems, birds.
I heard about one or two birds, but 300 seems like an unreasonable amount.
A witness saw a flock drop to the ground and, quote, eat something, and the next thing they know, they were falling from the sky dead. It only took about an hour for that to happen.
Now, what's the cause of this?
I'm assuming probably whatever they were eating.
It seems like it could be something else. So it seems like there's got to be more mystery to it than that.
Well, I guess. I mean, birds' anatomy is very fragile in nature. You're not supposed to, like, feed them rice. If you're going to feed them, like, bread, you're supposed to soak it in water first. So birds are very fragile.
How come everybody puts bread out for
birds? It's not good. You're not supposed to.
That seems like the common thing people do, though.
Yes, but I'm explaining you're not supposed to do that.
What do you feed them, then?
You're supposed to, like, soak the bread in water before you feed
the
bird.
Yeah, but not everybody. How about Cheerios?
Who feeds birds Cheerios?
I'm trying to think of a healthier solution to the birds' problems than bread. Didn't Mary Poppins do this? What did they feed the birds?
Excuse me?
In Mary Poppins, there was that song about feeding the birds. What were they feeding those birds?
I have no idea what you're referring to.
Ah, Mary Poppins. It's an old movie.
I've supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah, you know what
I'm familiar. I don't remember the song.
Somebody will know in the chat thread.
But I, so no, 300 birds dropped dead out of the sky. And my question is, well, I mean, why? I guess it's whatever it was eating on the ground, but all 300 of them died at once. That just about all in one full swoop. That is definitely a really strange occurrence. And if I was witnessing that, I would tell you that that would probably be one heck of an omen, man. Like a bad omen. It's not a good thing.
What do you do when that happens? Do you just kind of leave town or what?
What, if I saw 300 birds die?
Yeah, say it would just happen right by you.
I don't know, man. It depends on the birds. If I just saw three, like, I don't know. Growing up where we did, I guess pollution, like, is all around us. So I'm like, eh, it happens. But 300 of them all at once, man.
And yeah, what type of bird? That makes a difference too, right?
I guess it does. They didn't specify in the news article about what kind of bird that was that fell out of the sky.
A flock of seagulls. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be here all night. Tip your waiter.
Tip your waiter, everybody. Hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, that's eerie. I would definitely not. I had that happen once, but it was just one bird. I was walking, one bird dropped from the sky. That was creepy enough.
That's supposed to be a bad omen, by the way.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, 300 of them just, like, you're just walking and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, well, 300 would be a sign for sure, but one was spooky enough. But the 300, yeah, definitely eerie. I would leave town at that point, Bob.
Fun fact, there's somebody in the chat right now who said that they saw people hanging Cheerios, like ornaments on the trees, for the birds to eat.
Yeah, I think Cheerios are generally healthy things. You can give your dog it. You could good for your heart.
Do you feed your dog Cheerios?
Cheerios are healthy snacks, yes.
I'll remember that for one of my flock of cats.
Well, make sure cats are the same as dogs before you go. I'm no doctor, Bob. I assume it's both good for both pets.
But, I mean, you're kind of like an animal, a half animal, being a vampire. So wouldn't you have, like...
bats? Yeah, you feed... Well, 300 bats from the sky.
If you just saw 300 bats fall from the sky...
That'd be eerie.
That would be horrifying.
Very horrifying.
Have you ever seen a flock of bats before?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I fly with them all the time.
Okay. All right.
Don't ruin this mystery.
Stand corrected.
Yeah.
But no, man, bats, when they fly out of, like, the trees and stuff, it's really, really cool when you see them all flock together. But
of course, Jacob, how could I forget? Birdseed is the common theme, right? Birdseed. But still, like, when you're out and about, people, I feel, just, like, try to feed them things they have in their home already, like, say, bread or Cheerios. So you learn stuff. You're learning facts here on Bob After Dark.
Cheerios. Who makes that? Is that Post Mills? General Mills, I should say. Kellogg's?
Yeah. Well,
whoever makes Cheerios.
Yeah.
If you're looking for the podcast to sponsor, I can just be sitting here with a bowl of Cheerios just eating away, and you can watch me eat. So, Cheerios, your paranormal cereal of choice.
You know, we talk about, you would think I would eat Count Chocula, right? But not,
Oh, do you not like Count
no,
Chocula?
it's good, but it's
That's my
not the
favorite
most
muscle.
healthiest. It's not healthy for you. You gotta get some Cheerios.
Panic. My dear Count Panic. Healthy? All right. Well, let's move on.
I'll get you a bowl later after the show.
You can get me a bowl of Cheerios?
Yeah, we could work that out.
Sounds good. All right, my third story, excuse me, my third story is actually from Egypt.
Oh, the pyramids.
Actually, it relates 100%.
All right.
So you know how they've been digging up those mummies recently? Anthony talked about them a couple weeks ago on the show.
Yes.
Okay, so they are working on infrareding the corpses that are wrapped up in the, bandages and whatnot, studying skin decomposition,
Yeah.
how these people were able to basically keep the body intact for as best as they can for thousands of years, because this is more or less a, medical miracle. Because mummies, despite them being in a state of decomp, they look pretty great.
Well, that's the point, right? They wrap them up, right, for that
Sure.
purpose? Yeah.
Oh, so here's the crazy thing. So once they started infrareding the mummies that they pulled out, they started discovering that these mummies had tattoos.
Like I Heart Mom or something like that?
Close. They were finding things like the all-seeing eye, the compass. They were pulling out different like lines and I don't want to call them tribal art, but like hieroglyphics. And there were people that specialize in those sorts of things, the archaeologists and the scientists that are doing it. They are believing that these mummies happen to be high priestesses and medicine women and healers. So they're believing that all these mummies that they just discovered were all women. Because the type of tattoo that they had on them were all
Lower back tattoos.
no panic.
Wait, oh no, for what? You said women.
Women, they
Okay.
have like the So they were finding tattoos on their, different,
Oh,
like on their
okay.
necks
All
and
right, that
whatnot.
makes sense.
But the tattoos that they were finding were synonymous for women that they would wear that would practice the occult. So things like the witches in the the high court, the medicine women again. So it's pretty interesting to find an entire tomb of woman mummies.
Now I thought. Well, let me know. Is it the take yet? I'll save it for my
A
take.
hashtag Panks take.
I thought it was still bad. You're not supposed to dig them up. I mean, I thought it was bad luck. That this is the old movie, right? You dig up the mummy and you unearth the secret curse. Was it rest in peace, right? For a good reason.
I always wanted to do an episode of Bob After Dark about grave robbing versus archaeology. Where do you draw the line? Because I might do the episode on that someday.
Okay.
But my thing I've always come back to is archaeology grave robbing? And where do you draw the line for it? Because I mean, in reality, what is grave robbing?
Well, when you dig up a grave that you're obviously you're not supposed to dig it up, right?
Right, but what do you do when you grave rob? Like, what's the actions you do when you grave rob?
You take the, well, you could take the whole body if you really wanted to.
Right. What do archaeologists do?
Well, it's for science, right? That's the.
Sure. I mean, I'm not going to argue with you there. You're right, or for history's sake
They're
and
doing
stuff.
it for the purpose of trying to learn things, but still.
I know people that rob graves and they're using it for, metaphysical practices.
Yeah, but is that science or is that just.
Pseudoscience, I guess.
There seems to be, we got, there's a line here that's
That's
being
what I'm
drawn.
asking. Where does the that
Yeah.
I'm physically asking you that
Yeah.
question. So where does the line draw with grave robbing versus
I
archaeology?
say just let them all rest.
So no digging up anything.
No, it was put in there for a reason, Bob.
I think you're just afraid of a curse
I don't want to be cursed.
or curses.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you gotta admit though, doing that, you're messing with something out there, a higher power. Curse is coming.
Curses. I don't think I'd be so afraid of curses as I would booby traps.
Really?
Yeah. You ever watch like Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
Like the giant boulder that would come tumbling down or
So you're saying they put the, before those were put up in there, possibly, in the pyramids.
Yeah, that's what I'd be afraid of.
Okay.
I mean, the people that were building those were geniuses. I mean, heck, we can't build a bridge in 2018 that could keep a, you know, keep steady and keep strong. These ancient Egyptians, they're building pyramids that are lasting thousands of years.
Well, those are, that's one of the greatest mysteries, how that all got put together, right?
I mean,
this is before we had bulldozers and cranes and stuff.
Exactly, but they still stand.
Amazing, right?
Right. So, nay on digging up corpses and the archaeology.
Perfect.
It's nay. That's your answer?
Yeah.
You just leave. There's no difference between archaeology and grave robbing.
No, let them all rest.
Let them all rest. Me being a studier, dig them up. If you can learn something from digging up the Bob After Dark tomb in 1,000 years from now, please go dig up the Bob After Dark. There's not going to be a Bob After Dark tomb, I promise. Even though I know Kiss at one point was like selling their own coffins that they were making and personalizing, there's not going to be a Bob After Dark casket. There's not going to be a Bob After Dark tomb, so don't dig it up. But if there was one, I would totally want people to come dig me
up.
Do
you feel that? The ground's starting to, The ground is starting to shake. See, Bob, you're going to mess around with some ancient mummy, you're going to get the curse.
The curse? Yeah, Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
The mummy movie.
Did we not learn anything from those movies?
I learned that those movies are actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
I don't think, well, maybe there's some historical accuracy to those things.
Exactly, and that's why you don't mess around with that stuff.
No. All right, so let's dive right into the lore of the week.
Before you do that, I thought you were going to mention for sure. We got sent this by viewer Andy.
Oh!
There's a Mothman sighting near us, right?
Yes, so I looked it up, and it didn't happen recently.
Okay.
So one of our listener, Andy, actually just shared a map of Mothman sightings in the greater Chicagoland area. And there are, well, as we talked about before, there are a lot of sightings. Little did I know that there was a Mothman sighting close by where I saw the sighting. Actually, not far away, so led me to believe that it might be the same day. They didn't have a date, but I could tell you that it wasn't recent.
Okay.
But
still, it happened.
There was definitely a Mothman sighting, I'm assuming, the same day as I saw mine.
You know, I got to say, too, I was at this party on Saturday in Petyville in Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
And people were talking. It's near Gibson Woods there.
Gibson Woods? Where's that?
Right there in the woods there back in Hammond.
Oh, sure. Is there spookiness going on?
In the Hespel area.
Is there a spookiness?
Well, I got talking to a couple of people, and there seems to be an agreement that there's a Bigfoot in the Gibson Woods here in Hammond, Indiana. Now, I don't know if that's true. Again, there was some drinking going on, but somebody down the line somewhere, somebody claims that there's a Bigfoot in the Gibson Woods in Hammond, Indiana. You never know. It might be
there's
nothing.
There's Bigfoot
but,
sightings in Chicago, man.
Yeah, just worth a checkout, maybe.
Well, I mean, north of Chicago over in Rosemont, the Cook County Woods, but I mean.
Just to put on your radar.
It was even more interesting because this map was like sponsored by Google.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, there are people that are legitimately looking into this.
Of course.
And, I mean, that Mothman sighting was close by, and another Mothman sighting.
Looking for you, Bob. He's looking for you.
I'm looking for him, or it, or her, like Moth Person.
But then we should call it Moth. Yeah,
Moth
if we call
person?
It Mothman, it should be Moth.
Moth Person.
Moth Person.
I'm all about it. I think we should change the name to the Moth Person. I'm down for that. Even though I believe that I guess there was like a masculine voice to it, but I'm down for calling it Moth Person.
Mothy.
Mothy. Mothy's a good name.
Yeah.
Like, you have Nessie.
Yeah, Mothy.
Mothy.
Mothy the Moth.
Hashtag change the name.
Yeah, change the name.
Change the name.
2019.
All right, so before we dive into the lore of the week, I owe you some lore of the week, Count Panic.
Okay.
Did you know that there was this giant cat?
Oh.
That would a giant cat that people in like the Icelandic areas.
You gotta say it with more excitement, Bob.
There was a creature so vile and scary that would come and eat you if you didn't receive new clothes at Christmas time.
Now, who was this creature?
The Yule Cat.
The Yule Cat. Now, the old Yule Cat. What's it? You got to receive clothes at Christmas or the Yule Cat will come and get you.
Yep.
And it's like a giant cat, right?
It's
like
a giant cat.
Clifford, the big red dog. It's a giant cat.
It's literally a giant cat that would go around and eat you. There is lore that goes along with it that the cat belongs to a Christmas troll that would proceed to eat kids. I mean, there's a lot to it. But last year when we did the Spirit of the Holidays before we launched the podcast, Bob After Dark, and we were strictly just a Facebook Live and radio show, we covered Yule Cat. And you seemed very, very, very distraught that Yule Cat didn't make it on the schedule this year.
Yeah, I was wondering where the invitation for Yule Cat was at. Did it get lost in the mail? But I didn't know about that until you talked about it last time. And, you know, as a kid, you grow up in clothing. You don't want clothing. Now, as you're older, an adult, you welcome clothing. It's nice.
Right.
But now it's a safety concern at this point.
Because you're worried about the Yule Cat coming? And
yeah. So it's like you like to stay warm, and two, you're saved from the Yule Cat.
So I wasn't covering Yule Cat tonight on the show, but I had to talk about the Yule Cat on the show because Count Panic, that's his favorite cryptid. That's his favorite.
Well, holiday, yeah.
It's not.
Well, it's Nessie's up there.
Okay. Who's better in your opinion?
Well, okay.
What's better? Nessie's better than Yule Cat.
No, but I'm not like a Yule Cat, of course. Hey, listen, but with Yule Cat, I think we listed off Yule Cat number one right before Groundhog.
Oh, for your favorite winter creature.
Yeah, because the Groundhog is very cryptid-y. He tells if you have 6 more weeks of winter or not. So Groundhog number two, Yule Cat number one, respectively.
So at least we got to talk about the Yule Cat on the show.
Yeah,
and someday, we were cracking jokes about launching the Yule Cat Festival, which is literally just like the Krampusnacht, where people just show up and get drunk and there's vendors.
Yeah.
And people celebrating these things.
Well, and Jacob asked the question, Yule Cat versus Krampus. Yule Cat probably, right? A giant cat.
I don't know. This isn't like the death battle of cryptozoology. I'm not just going to start pitting mythical creatures together. All right.
We got to for March Madness, we'll do a cryptid
we'll
madness.
Do.
Cryptid Madness.
You know, that's actually March we dedicate to Fey lore, but that's not bad.
No, but I'm saying
we'll
do like
a
online chart, you know?
Oh, jeez. That sounds like a lot of work.
We'll get it.
I think
we got time.
Maybe if you want to headline that one, that's great.
You know how it works. Two cryptids go against each other. We eventually get down to
Panic. We should have you do the Krampus parade next year as Yule Cat.
As Yule Cat.
Just to get you some black cat ears. We'll get you the squeaky paws.
What are you going to be?
I film the parade.
Well, yeah, but we could put a tripod up there.
If I was to join the Krampus parade, I would be a Krampus.
Mm.
That'd be something I'd want to be. I really want to do a Krampus suit. They're so warm. They're weight. I'd sweat and probably die.
It'd be a good coat too. Yeah. You don't have to put a coat on. You can just walk around as a Krampus.
Yeah, but we have the booth. I have to and I'm just going to sit there at the booth all night. But no, next year we're going to get you from our friends at Pawstar. Let's get you some ears and a tail and some squeaky paws. And
we'll figure it out.
I'm saying you're going to be Yule Cat.
I was supposed to go in a cage at one point, I feel like, at this point. So Yule Cat, doesn't it, besides terrorizing is it just kids or is it people?
Everybody.
Everybody. Okay.
All right.
So that's what it has over to Krampus. Krampus is just kids. Yule Cat is everybody.
Yep. All right. So let's dive right into the lore of the week. And I've been promising this one as a creature scarier than Krampus.
And?
You ready to talk about her?
Sure.
So it's a her, just like the Yule Cat, I believe, is a feminine cat.
Well, same as Mothman. We got to just assume.
All right. So we talked about Krampus and we talked about La Befana, which we talked about last week. I want to talk about something a little bit more sinister. So, all right, hear me out. Let's say you've been a very naughty boy, Count Panic, this year.
Okay.
Instead of getting coal from Santa, getting spanked by Krampus, or maybe getting smacked in the face by a broom by La Befana, imagine you get kidnapped, disemboweled, and stuffed with rocks.
Yeah, that's the worst out of everybody so far.
That's what happens when you deal with Frau Perchta. Half goat, half woman, sounds very familiar to our old pal the Krampus. Often considered to be a deity, she is somewhat of an obscure Christmas figure. And why is she obscure? Because we don't really talk about her because of her nature. Let's dive a little bit in. She is also known to come around the Epiphany, which is, as we learned before, Three Kings Day in January, which is when La Befana will come around. Her major grumpy times comes from you breaking traditions during the holiday season. Do not, under any circumstance, weave anything. No baskets. Don't weave. That makes her very angry. Major beliefs was that she would come into the homes while the inhabitants were sleeping. She would go, cut open their stomachs, disembowel them, and stuff their cavity with straw, rocks, and other pieces of garbage laying about. She especially had a low tolerance for unruly children. Instead of elves and reindeer like Santa Claus has kicking around, she had a group of zombies that would come hang out with her. Some say they were mindless ghouls that were once her victims that she decided to keep around for helpful sake. She also carried around a large dismembered goose foot, which some believe is where the idea that some people eat the Christmas goose from. According folklorist John Smith, he says some of her earliest incarnations date back to the Middle Ages. She was the enforcer of conventional taboos. Basically, if you weaved on a sacred day, you'd make her mad. Or if you eat with no enthusiasm, you would also bring apart her wrath.
Wow.
As times changed and women started joining the workforce more, her story changed a little bit. She was told to attack the lazy. And there's times that she was known to kidnap children, a la the Krampus. Except, where Krampus would carry him around in a cage or throw him in a sack, kind of maybe he's trying to stay in the dead of night. Oh, not Fraulein. She would keep the kid's legs out of the sack and get a thrill out of watching him kick around. As a warning to anybody who may have seen her walking around. There was one tale in particular of somebody trying to meddle in Frau's dealings. He was a young farmhand who saw her and he was spying on her, trailing her moves, trying to go free the children from her sack. Before he could even get close, it is said that he lost his eyesight for the whole day. Eventually, he regained his eyes and his vision, but I think that's just a lesson to be learned, not to mess around with Frau Perchta. Your facial expressions are golden over there.
It's terrible.
I like to look at the camera and talk a little bit, but I'm just watching your facial expressions.
Yeah, well, this one, certainly, they all have their downfalls, these characters, but this one, just extra evil, extra nasty, extra wrong, in my opinion.
But she's not always portrayed as in a negative way.
Well, these are negative things, Bob. You all mentioned. I mean, there's not one positive thing that you mentioned.
I'm getting there. There's okay. Some positives, not many,
boy.
But there are some positives.
I'm sure.
You look so disgusted. It's like I finally broke you.
I'm just saying. Yulka at least just attacks you for clothing. I mean,
she's not like attacking innocent people. She just, you tick her off and she'd come disembowel you.
You just look at her in the wrong way, right? Stuff rocks up you. This doesn't seem right. That's just me.
So
what's the positive
stuff here? She wasn't always depicted in a negative way. So, some depict her as youthful and beautiful. Some say her name can literally be translated as the Bright One. She is also known as Grandmother Winter or the Bringer of Snow. So, it's not so bad.
Yeah, that the Bringers. Well, I mean, how much snow are we talking to? That could be a bad thing with that, too, as well. It's just the whole first part. There was too many things that were just terrible in there, but Right. As you say, what's the old saying? You got to find the good in somebody. You're finding the good in them, Bob. You're finding the good.
Yeah. There's not many other good stories other than that, man. Some people say that she was a good witch that just got a bad rap, but there's not many stories like that. So
you could rest easy with that.
Or you could just not be a naughty boy and not be lazy or don't weave on sacred days, and you would probably be okay. Or when you eat, make sure you're showing some enthusiasm.
That's a tricky. Well, usually when people eat, like when I eat, I like to think I enthusiastically I'm enjoying the meal, right?
I've seen you eat, yes. You definitely.
And Bob, I seen you around some cheese curds too as well.
Oh man, yes. The Queen of the Night made me like this scrambled egg like casserole thing for breakfast the other day.
Oh,
let me tell you how good that was.
So you were
safe. I ate that with enthusiasm. So I don't think Fraulein's going to be coming to my house anytime soon.
So it's just teaching kids out there, you know, take
But
pride
she wasn't
in your food.
Just taking kids. She would take on adults
well,
too,
people,
man.
Yeah,
it was
yeah,
a you if you were a horrible person, or I guess just did things to make Fraulein Perchta very angry. That's what you got.
Well, that's something there, but I don't know, just at least with, I mean, when we were kids, right?
Sure.
When we were bad, when we just got coal, right? That was the only thing. There was no being spanked by Krampuses or put in cages. There was no, this woman shoving rocks up you. I mean, it's, nowadays it's a lot more that goes into it, so. It used to be a lot more simpler.
You know, I was, I'm going to continue with the lore, but I'm going to tell you something. So I was, when we were at the occult market yesterday, I was talking to one of the people that dropped by the booth.
Yeah.
And she was like asking me questions about the episode, you know, how do I come about, how does one make an episode of Bob After Dark? Like what kind of research goes into it? Like whatever. So I was just telling her, and for example, like this one, I knew the name, I knew the general gist, but I didn't know the lore that came from it. So, I mean, there's like legitimate research that has to go into learning about these things. So I told her, so I'm like, you know, tomorrow my live episode and what the podcast episode is going to be about Frau Perchta.
Yeah.
And she said, so I was telling her a little bit about her, just the general gist about, you know, disemboweling you, ripping out your stomach, shoving you full of rocks. And she said, I'm willing to bet she's from like Germanic area, Austria. And I'm like, yeah, man, because let me tell you, German folk tales, they're not fun. They're really not. In a lot of these stories where they're coming from, they're pretty brutal. Hansel and Gretel, you know, Rapunzel, those stories are very horrific.
That's good. That's good. Cause Hansel and Gretel, that was when we grew up, we learned that story. And that's not like the other nursery rhymes or other fairy tales. That one, essentially, what she was, she ate the kids, right? Or she turned them into.
I think she actually. So in the original Grimm's story, my mother would be a better person to answer this, or Kale might actually know too, because I know she knows her folklore, especially in the Germanic areas. I think she ends up actually eating Hansel in the story.
Like cooking him, right?
I think she actually cooks him. I don't think the kids got out safe, or in the Jeremy Rayner movie, going out and hunting witches after, you know. So moving on with the lore a little bit more.
That a happy ending, too, for a kid, by the way.
What's that?
Just the ending of that story, where usually those stories have happy endings. That one did not have a happy ending.
It certainly did not.
Nope.
So the, much like the Krampusnacht fest that we have now, for example, like the one we were just at in Milwaukee, Austria has Perchtenlaus, which you have to forgive me. I haven't practiced my German in some time, but I'm a little better than this than I am my Hablo Espanol when I was sitting there practicing how to say La
Llorona.
Not La Llorona.
La Llorona.
I remember for that episode, I was like, Anthony, I don't know what to do. But I could do this one. So Perchtenlaus, which is a parade of people. They have fireworks and stop me if this one sounds familiar. They're dressed like beasts and going around snarling at people and scaring the kids.
A little bit familiar there.
Does it sound familiar? Much like the Krampus Parade. Now, the idea is these people would dress in these outfits not to scare kids, but to scare away the nasty winter spirits. Now, when she isn't being called good or the light bringer, she is depicted as having a beak-nosed, made of iron, dressed in rags, carrying a cane, and is secretly wielding a large knife under her skirt.
That's terrifying.
Absolutely. And then some say, again, kind of like the half-goat woman character, too. I just wanted to add in a little bit of extra lore here for you. So some say that if you dive a little further back with the story of Frau, the concept of her may actually derive from a Scandinavian goddess, Frigga, F-R-I-G-G-A, for the obsession with sowing punishments. That particular goddess was always depicted with thimbles of thread and wool and whatnot. So a lot of people believe that the story of Frau in this case would definitely kind of fill, you know, kind of derive from that story of this Scandinavian goddess.
That makes sense. But I gotta say too, I'm kind of checking the comments here. If I do remember correctly, this is true. Kale mentioned out here. In the original traditional story, she ate all the other kids, but Hansel and Gretel were actually able to get the witch into the oven. But as time went on, they kind of changed the story around where she just ate them.
Oh, sure. And that's, maybe I'll do an episode someday about like these older fairy tales and stories like that, because, you know, you look at who was writing these and the Grimm's brothers, right? So when they were writing them because they were treated pretty harshly in their, you know, growing up. And my experience is a lot of these stories that were coming from, you know, like the Central European countries, they're, again, we were talking a little bit about it, they're absolutely horrifying. So Frau Perchta is, in a lot of ways, a very, like, scary character.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I wanted to save her for one of the last characters we talk about in this one is because she's not really talked about these days. I think the, and quote me, but the bad guy of Christmas or the bad guy of the holiday season, the championship goes to Krampus, hands down. The story of the Krampus is much more popular than it ever has been. We had that popular Hollywood movie. We got festivals now. We have nights that we celebrate. There's legitimately costumed people that dress up and hang out and do good and do charity work and et cetera.
Yeah.
But you don't really hear about Fraulein Perchta, and that's my final question I want to ask you, is do you think a story like Frau Perchta has a place in today's society?
Well, if you want to terrify people, then of course. But I have not heard of her until today, of course. A lot of things I haven't heard until today.
I was going to say, yeah, how much, okay, in your honest, in the year that we've been doing this, the over the year we've been doing the show,
yeah,
how many things can you say that like I've walked into and I'm telling a story and you're like, I know this one?
No, and this is totally, never heard this one. Place in society, I guess historically, you know, it's like one of those things that gets told on throughout time. You kind of, it's just a, you know, a story. You gotta keep telling, passing on from generation to generation. So
much like a magical flute, from what I hear.
Yeah, well, that got passed on.
generation to generation. I had to do at least one joke. Yeah. Anthony's,
well, you know,
everybody
has their own traditions, of course, and I saw Patrick chimed in as well about that pickle, that German pickle. Somebody asked me about this today, about this pickle, and I forgot what tradition it's from, Germany.
You know, we still have a few minutes left in the show. We have a caller. We'll take the call here in just a moment. Growing up, my mother is very proud of her German heritage and very much like involved with her German heritage. And we did a lot of German customs, but I grew up, we never did the pickle thing, but who do we got on the line?
Yeah, the pickle thing is a famous thing, but I never.
Is it John this late at night?
Yeah, no, it is John. So.
Hey, John, I was wondering if you forgot about us this week.
Oh, no, I would never forget about you guys, Bob.
How's it going tonight, John?
It's going pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, can't complain. Long days, long nights lead to longer Bob After Dark episodes. So what's crack-a-lackin' tonight,
well,
John?
Well, there's nothing ever wrong with long episodes of Bob After Dark.
I appreciate that. So what's going on?
Well, I'm just sitting over here, you know, thinking about the Yuletide coming up. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, hosting a show about Legends Lore and the Supernatural, talking about this kind of horrific creature that not a lot of people know about. What's your question this week, John? Or what's your comment?
Well, I don't have no comment. You know, watching TV and some of the past, you know, great Christmas shows like Frosty, Rudolph the Grinch are appearing. So, you know, bringing back some memories. But in the paranormal, is there something that may be comparable to, you know, the Grinch? I know Grinch is a not a real character, but it's depicted as, you know, to the younger kids that, you know, the Grinch is bad because the Grinch, you know, stole Christmas away from the kids and you know, the merrier part of the Christmas season. So just wondering if there's, you know, anything out there that would be comparable to the Grinch in this day and age.
No, that's a great question.
And I'm just throwing that out because, you know, I'm just...
It's a fair question.
Stumped the Bob, yeah.
You definitely stumped me.
And there might not be no answer. I don't know if there's...
There's probably an answer.
You know.
Maybe they came up with the concept from... Stories come from everything, John. I'm assuming there maybe was some sort of inspiration. I mean, maybe the Krampus in a way, but like... The idea of the Grinch was he was this guy who hated Christmas, right? And he went to go steal it, and then his heart grew three times the size and all that good stuff. But I don't know if there's a comparable thing to that. I mean, Ebenezer Scrooge from The Christmas Carol was a character much like that, despised it. And so I guess maybe...
Just Bah Humbuggers, maybe, you know?
Maybe that, John. I'm going to go with an Ebenezer Scrooge.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, I'm not a trick question or nothing. It's just, I guess, a Christmas question.
It's fine. You know? I appreciate the Christmas questions, and it's great that you brought up the Christmas Carol because we're going to talk about what our episode's about to be next week here in just a moment.
Okay. Sounds good. So
thanks, John.
I will check with you guys next week.
Appreciate that. I'm seeing people chime into the chat about the pickle not being a German tradition. Again,
I don't know.
I've heard it being called a German tradition, but like, I asked my mom about it because this came up. I was probably in high school and the pickle thing was starting to be like a thing.
We talked about that today.
But like, I was talking with my mom and my mom's like, no, because her grandma, they're German, man. Let me tell you, like that's where they come from. That's who they are. I asked her, I'm like, the whole pickle thing. And she's like, no, must have been someplace else. Cause she told me, and I just kind of out of sight, out of mind. I know the idea, though. You're supposed to hide the pickle in the tree, and then the kids are supposed to, like, look through the tree to find the pickle.
Poland, you hide the pierogi in the tree. Gotta find a pierogi.
In my house, it's hide the cat.
Your cat.
You'll hide the cat in the tree, and then the tree will fall over.
Hey, we got into a debate yesterday, kind of.
Yeah.
Frosty the Snowman, cryptid or not a cryptid?
Oh, that was... That's a great question.
I mean, it's a talking snowman, for God's sake.
I went with, no, I said Frosty the Snowman was a story about possession.
Yeah.
Spirit, obviously a positive spirit, possesses snowman and creates
Come on, that's
this
creepy.
Thing. It's not that creepy. I mean.
If you saw a snowman talking and walking.
I mean, do you know what kind of life I live? I probably wouldn't be surprised very much.
How'd you defeat a snowman?
Blowtorch.
There you go. Perfect.
Heating pad.
Case closed.
An icicle. Have you ever seen we'll talk about the horror movie Jack Frost for Bob After Dark Unplugged. But so I'm going with Frosty the Snowman was a story about possession.
Okay.
Santa's reindeer, on the other hand.
Oh, come on.
Total cryptid.
Well, they were flying animals. Yeah, it is kind of that. It is mysterious and creepy, I guess, when you really think about that. Good point, Bob. Good point indeed.
Yeah, so that's my entail on, because that's a great question. But we were going real quick before we kind of move on, I just want to say Fraulein Perchta, in my 1,000,000% belief, thinks she should still be talked about, because it was a major part of history, and it's a kind of a big deal. And, you know, especially if she's derived from Scandinavian goddesses, that comes from a pagan background, and those are things that people should be studying and learning, because that's what literally built our world, were pagan beliefs and different things, a lot of Christmas traditions. So I'm a firm believer in teachings of, you know, the occult and normal practices and like the stranger side of things, because if we don't pass these traditions on, they die. And there are certain things out there that are just fascinating pieces of history and culture that we need to keep studying and talking about. That's why I picked Fraulein Perchta. She's horrifying, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But you know what? The old girl deserves to be talked about. And,
if you don't learn about your past, you're doomed to encounter it or repeat it. One of those two.
Let me know if Fraulein Perchta comes back to Frau Perchta comes
I
back.
I'd rather run into Frosty the Snowman. At least that's easy to defeat.
Somebody's saying, Vixis in the chat saying, make the Frosty the Snowman a pole. Is Frosty the Snowman a cryptid?
Yeah.
Cryptid or not?
How do you make a pole on one of these things?
We'll do it.
Okay.
I'm still sticking with the reindeer as a cryptid, though. Yep. 100%. A flying reindeer. What do
especially
you want?
Prancer. What's going on in Prancer?
They're all cryptids.
Yeah.
Especially Rudolph.
Well, the glowing nose gives it away. Yeah, you're right.
All right, guys. So before we cut off for the night, let's talk about what our episode is about next week, because I'm very excited to announce it tonight. Usually I don't like to do it, but a couple days before. Joining us next week, we're going to have Anthony back, but we're also going to have Steve back.
Ah, wrestling sensation.
Pro wrestling sensation, paranormal investigator Steve Michaels will be joining us back in the studio for one night only. He's coming out of semi-retirement from Bob
Effenberg. But whose side is he on, friend or foe?
Friend.
Okay. We never know. He might turn heel.
So all four of us are going to be talking about the story of the Christmas Carol. Now, we know the story of the Christmas Carol. We know Ebenezer Scrooge was visited by ghosts. We know it's a fictional story, but we're going to do a pseudo paranormal investigation on Ebenezer Scrooge's story.
Yes.
Was he visited by spirits that night? Do ghosts, to what we know about them, have the ability to teach lessons and perform miraculous things? Were they demons? Were they deities? That's what we're going to be talking about next week on Bob After Dark. It's going to be the last episode of the year, but it's not. We still have another episode after that.
Indeed, we do. But this is our Christmas Eve Eve episode.
Christmas Eve Eve. That's going to be the Bob After Dark Christmas special.
And for Paul, Bob carries his own props. Some people think that you leave the props here, but no.
Who's Paul?
Paul Goddard chiming in on the chat here.
I didn't see.
You got your props. You carry them in every week.
No, so. Actually, fun fact, I carry them every week, and they're pretty much with me wherever I travel. Whenever I do, like, panels at conventions or, like, I have convention appearances or wherever, I'll usually pull out a couple just to kind of make, like, what I have out on the table really exciting. My number one prop I always kind of go to is Uncle Bill, my house skull. He hangs out. He's my He's a gift. I really appreciate having him around.
Since Milwaukee Krampus night, I noticed Bigfoot's got a new hand.
Somebody taped a baby Ruth bar to his stub.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a thing.
A shot right there, yeah. But yeah, Christmas.
We're doing a Christmas Carol next week.
And there's so many variations of this story.
It's all the same, but we're going to talk about that next week.
Yeah.
So, do you have any final words for the Bob After Dark show this week?
No, once again, people in the Den Theater had a great time with you guys at the Den Theater. Met a lot of cool people over there. So, happy to be out there. Happy to meet the people. Bob, got to get out there and mingle.
Definitely do. On behalf of the Bob After Dark team, thank you so much for listening or watching the Bob After Dark episode about Frau Perchta. Stay tuned for the Facebook Live exclusive show, Bob After Dark Unplugged, where we get a little rambunctious sometimes. Tonight we're going to be talking about Jack Frost, the horror movie.
That was a good movie.
You've actually seen it.
I see where he throws the...
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay. We'll get there. Thank you guys so much for watching, and make sure to stay tuned to our Facebook page, because we're going to be doing some interesting stuff, because I guess I have to do a poll about Frosty the Snowman. Remember, I just want to say goodnight, Mom and Dad, and Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Goodnight, everybody, and remember, the most important rule of Bob After Dark is not all who wander are lost. Goodnight, everybody.
Memoriam Development.